Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to another Scatter Chatter show. This one's going to be a little bit more challenging than normal. Forgive me for speaking really slow. I lost my co-host, my best friend and brother. Will passed away. They found him in his house, just passed away. They don't have any final calls for why he died or why he passed away. I'm basically going to dedicate this show to my friend and my brother. As you guys know, like in the earlier days of the show, I actually took time to introduce how we met, but I might rehash that. But before I move forward, for those of you that are listening that are friends, family members, loved ones, I'm going to open the floor up to any friends mainly the family, if they want to like have any words on the show. And any friends that want to call in, I'm going to do this. I've sent out text messages and on Facebook just said, like, try to, like, keep your comments down to, like, 3 to 5 minutes to give room for other people to say what they have to say, their positive thoughts, their memories, and shared experiences with Will. He's such a lovable person. So just try to keep that in mind and try to, like, you know, talk in a quiet place so that everyone can hear you. And, you know, this can be like something we can go back to as a reference for all the good times that we shared with Will. I just kind of get started. I think I met Will the summer of, I think, 96. I came out here when I had just started doing graphic design, which was called desktop publishing at the time. And I worked for a guy, his name is Patrick McCullough. And we used to do a lot of like two-color flyer designs. Like, we were the king of flyer designs at that time. So we were just doing a lot of flyers. Had a brief run-in with Will, you know, a quick conversation. I was in high school at the time. So, you know, quick conversation, how you doing? Is this what you like? And that's how it goes. And then fast forward to sometime in 2000-something, I met him again working with Jason Clark. He's a very prominent figure as far as, like, in graphic design. Like, he does a lot of DVD covers and whatnot, and then I met him again through Fox, and then our friendship just, like, blossomed from there. And then we would talk about different things, concepts, and joke around. And then eventually I learned that he worked at World on Wheels. And then I would just go and just, he invited me just to come to his work and come hang out and chill. So that's what I did. And for those of you that know Will, during the time of World on Wheels, he's known for the big leather chair, the couch, and the desk. And that's where all the sessions of wisdom were conducted. Like, he would drop a word, or, you know, he would have his friends, and, you know, sometimes I don't even think the customers were really customers of World on Wheels. They became more friends and associates of his, and they would just talk about, like, anything under the sun, relationships, something silly that happened on the news, or something that happened in the neighborhood, or an event, what's the next event, or the DJs, or what DJs were good, which DJs sucked, what music was good, what music was bad. He would, like, really go out of his way to do that. And then while at World on Wheels, you know, for those of you that also know about the record pool, when they had, I forget what it's called, Impact Record Pool, that's what it was. Will was on the bullhorn, right? And for those of you that know, he had signs and he had a bullhorn. He would say, I think one of the signs was trash or hell no. I'm not sure. I don't think he did, but for some odd reason, I always think that he has a sign called Burn the Studio. Now, there was a earlier episode when I talked about how we met, but then also there was an episode where DJ Shanks was on. Basically, there was a guy, and he played some music, and Will was like, you need to go back to the studio. No, as a matter of fact, on your way back to the studio, buy some gasoline, maybe even kerosene, take it to the studio, dump it on all the equipment, and burn it down. Like, that is the coldest shit I have ever heard anybody say about someone's music. And the guy got super upset. But Will was like, you didn't come here for me to give you a dishonest opinion about your music. You came here for me to give you an honest opinion about your music so that you could make your money off your music. You didn't come here for bullshit. You came here for the truth. And that's what Will was known for. He would tell you the truth and really go in on you about that. But after you sat back and got through your pouts or tantrums or fits, you was like, you know what, this brother was right. And you literally wanted to hug it out with him, which is what happened with the rapper guy. They talked about it. They got a little loud, you know, and then it was just like it was over, you know. Through Will and our friendship, he really, it's funny. And forgive me, I'm going to be all over the place with things because it's a really touching moment for me to lose somebody that's close to me. There's a saying that says that, I wrote it down, God makes up for the family we don't have, you know? And I've always considered Will an older brother. And, you know, he really went out of his way to take me under his wing. And he, like, you know, made me a part of his life. And not a lot of people make it a priority to take somebody under their wing. And I think, like, in our community as Black folks, like, a lot of people become your uncles, your brothers, and your cousins because you spend so much time with them. You learn about them. They allow you into your life. And, you know, your goal, if you honor that, is not to fuck it up. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're open to, like, have disagreements and agree disagreeably, but you don't want to fuck up a really solid relationship. And that's what I had with Will. And a lot of people here in, especially in Los Angeles, like, the thing is, the going trend is people talk about how people are pretentious and they're not very, you know, real or about it or about that life. But Will was 1,000% about that life. Like, when he takes you in, like, he takes you in. And it's like, if you decide to fuck up, like, he's not fucking with you, and he's not fucking with anybody that fucks with you, you know? So, and he'll tell you that to your face and won't even blink, stare you straight in your eye and tell you that, which made him a very honorable man and a friend through him doing that. Now, some of the things that we would share was, like, even when I would go to World on Wheels and, you know, late nights, we would share a meal, you know, and that's really huge amongst friends, breaking bread with each other. Like, you really can't consider, you know, if somebody, a true friend, if they don't break bread. So I'm going to continue more, but I'm going to allow the interruptions. I think I have a caller. Is somebody on?
Yes. This is Silky D. I'm the first female in Impact Record Pool as the DJ. I've been knowing Will from. This is. Yeah, one, I'm shocked, and two, you started talking about what Will did at Impact, and you're so right. He was our Apollo. at the Impact Record Pool. I'm just going to keep it real like that. That brother just was the ultimate answer to any artist that came through, you know, our format to get the realest of real, whether they like it or not. And the interesting part about it is no one got angry to go against him. It's just that maddest high respect that he gave to an artist after they performed in front of all the DJs like ourselves.
Right.
And
right.
Just as humble as he can be, you know, his words were very powerful and could be very shrewd. But we loved
right.
him for that. We loved him for that. The fact that he always had a smile. We're family. This is family to me, and that's why it's really hitting me hard. Because just this history of the West Coast, and definitely Impact Record Pool is when it started as Street Beat before it became Impact. And this is just as deep in hurting me just as much as we've lost Foot. And I'm just a little emotional behind it. But you said it right. That was his place. That's where he had Kingdom and his bullhorn. And sitting in his chair, and just keeping it real in every aspect, no matter who you were, as far as when it came down to this game and getting your music in major distribution. So I'm going to miss him. I'm just floored because. You know, I'm one of the pioneers, and one thing for sure, you know, it hurts. I feel like a parent who's lost a child.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That's what I'm feeling. It hurts me more to see those who've come in this game of Record Pool as a family of DJs of different ages, but to have the younger ones go before you do hurts like a parent losing their child. So that's how I'm feeling. And I had to get on to say that I'm going to miss this brother. I'm going to miss this brother very much.
And Silky D, I want to add on to how you're saying about how you're feeling. Because the week of, or the day that I found out, I had the morning, very early in the morning, I had this very weird sinking feeling. It's like the earth, like, dropped. And I know we've been having earthquakes in here in L.A., but it's not that feeling.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Agree.
It's like something, a part of you just, like, gone.
I was I was shocked. I was just, well, it's double for me. We lost another DJ and audio owner just a month ago to the COVID, and he was an audio mm-hmm. owner, and have come across through Impact Record Pool, and it was just a double whammy for me. But Will was stronger because, again, this is the family. This is the family of West Coast history of the DJs that just came into the play of making L.A. scene.
Right.
This is the place that's monumental, that even Madonna and Beyonce, and I can go on and on and on, has come through to get
approval.
And acceptance. Okay, acceptance from us. Like, we were the ones to put them on the map, basically. I'm just going to keep it real. You know, we were the ones, and Will is a part of that.
Right. Next to Project Load, it was Impact. Impact was, like, major. Like, even Project Load.
Impact was before Project. Impact was before Project Load. So you're talking to a pioneer here. So if we want to go back. If we want to go back, then, you know, we might as well, you know, go back to the good life before Project Blow.
Right.
But before the good life,
they came.
It was just the L.A. scene of the club scenes back in the day. Street mm-hmm. Beat with Michael Mixon Moore, passing it down to Danny Foot James and Tracy Kendrick. And to have Will as like the recognition of the highest when it came down to get the stamp approval. I mean, that's history. That's history. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, like I said, it started off with 75 DJs, and I happened to be one of them. We did have another female, which was Sherry, a white girl, and she went to San Diego. So I'm just giving you some history as far as the Record Pool family is concerned, on down mm-hmm. to where our babies happened to be. DJ Mustard and DJ Quest Coast and my daughter DJ Spark. See, those we're doing different generations now.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? You feel what I'm saying?
And I'm very fortunate and grateful to have met all of you, if you will.
Yeah, this year it's hurting me. I mean, when I got the news every day, it just bothered me. It just bothered me because that's how it makes me feel. It just feels like that I'm a parent that lost a child, that my child went before me.
Yeah.
That's how I'm feeling. And, man, he brought the excitement. He brought the excitement, the laughter, the realness of Impact after after Foot left. You know, Tracy is the cool one. He's quiet, but Will had the personality. You feel what I'm saying? He had the personality to keep us, you know, going and laughing and making his jokes and, you know, the whole night, especially with that bullhorn. I'm not going to forget that ever. I don't know where he got it from, but he had it, and then he sat up in his big chair to the point I thought he got a throne going. We had a special throne for him.
Wait,
you know, I'm crying right now.
I don't know if you knew the procedure or how it went when we did Impact. When y'all did Impact, I don't know if y'all knew the procedure. When I was there, what would happen is we're like, oh, man, almost 7. It'd be like 6:45. We'll be like, he would start wheeling out his chair. He'd wheel out it. He'd have some water. Yeah. And he'd grab the bullhorn. He'd be like, where's the bitch? Go talk to Foot. Hey, what's up? Shake hands. And then DJ T would go get set up. And then who else would get set up? And then Mustard would set up the sound system. He's like, y'all need help. Y'all need something.
Don't forget Reggie. Reggie Jones.
And then Foot would get on the mic, and Tracy would be right behind him, and they would just go do their thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was a procedure. I think it was like every fourth or second Thursday or something like that?
Yeah, we did it every third Sunday in the month, you know, when they started feeding everybody the whole bit. I remember when the meetings You know, it used to be like twice a month. I went, you know, when we first started, we were going in there almost every week, and then it started getting into twice and then once a month. So, yeah. That's you know, moving it off of rodeo and McClellan into World on Wheels. So, you know, it's, I'm just, you know, I'm glad that you brought this blog talk because, you know, this situation, unfortunately, how everything is, and it's made it so, the crime situation has made it so distance, like everybody got to deal with grieving on their own, you know, or either it's virtual or either, you know, people just putting stuff up. But I'm glad that you allow for this format to come out for us to speak good things about him, fun things about him. I'm going to miss him. And I had looked so forward because I kept telling Tracy we need to bring the Impact Record Pool back to that environment. It's so needed, I feel, even though today, you know, we have all of this music online, I still think that personal interaction and people makes a difference. You know, that audience will make a difference. And, oh, my God, he is definitely going to be truly missed because it was no other personality like him and no other person that was bold enough to just be blunt like he could get and get away with it.
Wow.
I'm
Silky, I
appreciate you, you know.
Yeah, I have to do it because, you know, I have to do it because he's my friend, he's my brother, and, you know, we shared a lot, and, you know, I just want to take time, and I'm going to talk about, like, you know, he was very impactful in the community. Like, I think everybody in South L.A. knew him or knew of him. I think I'll go that far.
Oh, exactly. If you came through the pool and got a chance to just speaking who he was. I mean, you had people that didn't know him but didn't turn around and respect him because they realized it was just like automatically he had a position here, you know.
Right.
And, I mean, I've brought many young artists through there to, you know, have an opportunity to present their music in front of the DJs. And when it came down the wheel, it was just like they just immediately accepted him like they didn't know him for years. So they didn't, you know, were up against him or nothing. It was just true respect.
Wait, did you weren't, no, I was going to say you weren't the person that brought the Wolf Pack to him because discovered the Wolf Pack through one of his street team members. And then the Wolf Pack, I was wondering, was it you that did that?
Well, I brought a lot of, I can't take the, I'm not going to take the credit because you know me. I have launched off many people's careers, and I don't take the credit for it. Whatever happens when I make that connection, it does. I don't look for credits, you know, or if the artist be honest enough to say, damn, Silky D introduced me to this person. You know, I really don't care. I just move the flow of my spiritual ways of bringing in somebody to help somebody to get somewhere, and I'm done, you know.
Right.
And I could have. I mean, because I brought so many there to Impact. And then on outside of Impact, I have made personal connections with certain producers or people for artists to get to their next plane or the fact to educate them to get to their next plane. So I don't take no credit. I just say that I just happen to be the mother, the little old lady in the shoe that have so many children. You feel what I'm saying? Because I know I put hands on a lot of youth, and I still continue to this day. So I could have, you know, I'm just not going to because I think after that, it's really up to the artist to eat off of the plate that I hand them. You know, I can bring them to the water, but I can't make them eat, and I think that's the reason why I don't take any credit or get out here to both and say, well, hey, I was the one, because I know I've done from Tone Loc on up, you know.
Right.
You know, I told that in Tone's face, like, I was the one that gave the number to Mike Ross, when they were, you know, starting Delicious Vinyl Records. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just that kind of thing where I'm not boastful, I want to brag about or the whole bit. I mean, if I was in the field of being that manager or promoter, I would have had a business of it. I think I just enjoy helping and, you know, putting wings on people for them to fly. So I won't take the credit for it, but I appreciate you mentioning that, you know, because even though the world knows or West Coast knows, you know, now the world knows.
So thanks for sharing that. And, you know, I really want to, like, talk more about some of the stuff that he's done. And, like, I leave it open for, like, family members and stuff. So thank you for coming on. We look forward to hearing from you. Maybe we can have you on the show, actually.
Yeah, well, you can hit me up. You know where I'm at One Such Queen. So, just hit me up, and I'm more than, but I call because I had to express about Will, and I know how he was a very important value, as well as more than that, that's family, man. That's family. That's cutting me real deep right now. I think it cuts us all deep for all the original ones of Impact Record Pool because, man, those are years we're talking about. And although some of us may, you know, we all have personal lives, but the fact is whenever we see each other or whenever we're together, we show mad love like if we were talking to each other every day. So that one right there, yeah, that right there, that cuts. That definitely cuts me very deep. And that's how I feel like I really lost, you know, if I had birthed him my own self. So, it's all good. I appreciate that. He's going, and I appreciate the pictures. I saw the pictures and how beautiful those are. Because that was definitely him.
Yeah, that was him. All day.
thank you so much. Yeah, thank you so much, man. Thank you for letting me get that
you're
out.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Peace.
See you.
Mm-hmm.
So guys, just want to continue. Sharing my thoughts. So Will was a big brother to me, and you know, we would hang out at World on Wheels, and I was talking about breaking bread, and that's a really, you know, even in traditional and very primal cultures, like that's the main thing. That's how you start off with friendships, and you start, you know, great things. Like, you know, you start off over breaking bread. And I think, I can't remember the first thing, but I know for sure, our thing would be, our for sure thing would be going to Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles or going to the IHOP to get something to eat. And we would go there. We would go there with some of the crew, or we would go there with the street team, and we would talk and chop it up and just clown all night. Like, we would talk about people that was walking weird in the street, or what we saw on the day, or just something weird that we saw on TV. And that's what we did, just, you know, splitting the meal with a friend, you know. And that's always a good thing to do, you know, with somebody that you really care about and love, and then, you know, you bond through those times and those moments and all those experiences. And then, you know, from that, then, you know, you start after a while, and I think that this is a common rule. If you have a good friend, you guys should be willing to get the bag or help each other get the bag together. And Will was always about that. Like, he would always go out of his way to uplift people that were in his life that were, like, close to him. And he always wanted people to get the bag. Like, he was like, you know what? If you got to go because you got to work, then you need to go work. You know what I'm saying? Or I got this deal for you. Check it, see if they want to do X, Y, and Z or this and the third. And, you know, he'd give you the number. You do your thing, and he would back you up as a reference. And then you just follow up with that. I think even that proves a point from a relationship I developed with DJ Shanks.
like you talked about me and my graphics, I believe, to Shanks, and then, you know, Shanks just followed up. Or because he knew the relationship with me and Jason, he knew that my abilities were such on par that he could refer me to somebody and I would get the job done, which also then led to me actually doing stuff for him and his events and promotions. One that really stuck out to me was when we did the Buzz, that was like a team promotion and like what Will really wanted to do. And I don't know, some people may or may not know, like Will was really into like the community, like the Black community. Like he was really about uplifting it and providing a safe place or a safe venue for teenagers to go to keep them out of trouble area from like getting like what it could really have turned into be like a really bad spot. And between him and Bert, they really went out of their way to like do that. They went out on their time off, met with people in the community to make sure like this was cool here, we're not doing this here, and World on Wheels was a neutral zone. So, which brings me back to my point, that's why Will developed the like a teen nightclub for people, for the kids to go to World on Wheels. They were like teenagers, and what they would do, they would go and they would party all night, you know, parents get some time away from their kids, and then basically he would make arrangements for people, or not for people, for the kids to call their parents to come pick them up at a certain decent time at night, and then that's what they would do. And I'll continue the story. I'm going to let the next caller come in. Caller, who are you, and let's talk.
Hey, how's it going, DJ Quest Coast?
Oh, what's up, DJ Quest? How you doing, man?
I'm blessed, brother. How are you, sir?
I'm good. What you got for me?
Man, just so much love, man, because that's all my brother Will ever showed me, you know? And even you, too, right, man? It's always been love. We go back a long time, you know? I could just remember my earliest time, because I met Will before I became a DJ, and before I even knew he was at the skate ring, you know, I was like 10. And he just was the cool neighbor in my cousin's apartment building. And I would be at my cousin's apartment building 4 days a week, 3 days every weekend, and probably once during the week, too. And so he was always just showing us love and just guiding us in ways. And I always just, it always stood out, you know, because we grew up in many dysfunctional families and the streets. And a lot of times your family becomes people that you really blood with, you know. And so from my earliest time memory, my brother, that's what it always felt like, big brother vibes, uncle vibes, you know. And it was just happened that I would become a DJ, and going on at the Skate Marine, unbeknownst to me, was one of the biggest record pool meetings, the Impact record pool meeting, you know. And like, picture, you got Danny Foot James, rest in peace Danny Foot. You got Tracy Kendricks, you know, and then you got like Dr. B and Tony from the country. All these scientists, though, but DJs, you know, and rest in peace to Tony, too. But then, like, on the DJ table, you got DJ T, you know, L.A. staple, a major DJ out here, and he always had his two nephews with him. And his two nephews was DJ Mustard and John John. And so I'm the youngest DJ in the pool, and those are some teenagers younger than me at the time just trying to figure it out, you know. And we're at the skating rink in Will's house necessarily at the time. He's running the skating rink, right? And so he's there as the host of the event with all the L.A. top radio DJs, not radio, but street DJs, and some of the most influential in L.A. as DJs, and we would have a meeting once a month. Danny Foote and Tracy brought together artists from all walks of life. The labels paid them, because at this time, we're talking vinyl.
Yeah.
Some CDs, though, we're talking vinyl, you know. That was still the standard. And all the artists would come between from early upon, it was like artists like Tupac to fucking Beyonce, excuse me if I'm cursing, but
no, it's okay.
Destiny's Child came through, and then you speed forward, you know, and you go through time and you like, oh wow, that was YG and Ty Dolla $ign coming, you know, with the Ty and Corey project, or YG bringing Tooted and Booted. And this was years before these artists broke. But Will is in the picture as one of the most influential voices in the room as the manager of the skating ring, because he's tapped into the culture and he has this he has the bullhorn in the in the meeting. And,
right.
And nobody else had a microphone but the DJ. or artist that's presented to the DJ. And, man, I'm, like, shaking up saying it, but because I could just remember vividly, man, the brother was so, he was like the voice of reason. He was
right.
Like the artist, the honest, the God truth. He was like what DJ Head is doing right now with Honest Feedback. That was like Honest Feedback before social media. And so that's his story.
Yeah, but it was in your face.
He sent a lot of artists. Right in your face,
in
front of DJs. And let's set the
stage.
The DJs, no internet yet. And the DJs literally had signs. Pump It or Dump It.
Yeah.
Or Your Shit Is Whack. You know,
right.
Take It Back to the Studio, or
right.
Hey, send me copies. I want doubles. That was the sign. Like Project
right.
Blow shit, please pass the mic. And
right.
Will is on the microphone commentating this story happening. And so many artists came through. He sent artists back to the their lab to get better. He told artists they was hot and they actually did something, you know, and he wasn't really off a lot of the times, and it was just great for the culture, man. So, man, our brother's a staple, and I'm shocked that I'm having to do this because I just was on the radio show a few weeks ago.
Right.
So we love you, bro. Influential. And thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for that question, man. I appreciate you coming on and sharing that. Yeah, he's definitely gonna be missed. Did you have any last words before you wanted to like hop off, or?
Man, you know, I think we should all continue to spread that kind of love to each other, because that's what really a community, a neighborhood is about. You know, being able to be honest with each other, criticize each other out of love to make us better, because iron sharpens iron, and we not get offended by it, or we take our egos out of it, and we able to be honest with each other and share. We're not going to always agree, and that's fine. That's normal.
Right.
But we also push the boundaries and test the limits, because iron sharpens iron, and we shouldn't be too egotistical to think that somebody might have 360 degrees of information and ways to do it. So I just want to share that with the community and the family that's listening right now. Let's do more of that. And that's what our brother Will was always trying to show, I know from my experience. So, man, hey, Ray, I appreciate you always, man. We go back a long way, too, bro. And
yeah,
I'm always here, man.
Yeah.
Let's keep building.
All right, man, let's do it. I'll be there. All right, man, thank you for coming on, man. I appreciate you.
One love, brother. You have a great night, man. God bless
man, you, too.
Peace.
Yeah. So I want to continue with the buzz. So with the buzz, again, it was a nightclub event for kids just to keep them out of trouble. So the thing is, like, when Will was on the DJ set, like, you know, you hear people, like, they want to do stuff for kids, but, you know, they talk it, but they don't do that shit, right? So not only did he, like, go out of his way to, like, do this damn event, like, I feel like he knew every kid that came there every night, and he'd be like, yo, he would get on the mic, he would pause the music and be like, yo, so-and-so, so-and-so, your mama is outside looking for you. Or he would be like, yo, if you haven't called, like, an hour before they shut down, he'd be like, yo, you need to go call your parents and tell them to come and pick you up.
arrange your rides and have them come pick up. Now, what you would think is like, oh, we're going to just let these kids run wild after they call their parents. Nah, hell nah. What Will made sure is like there was somebody outside and somebody was taking them outside to make sure that they got into their parents' cars or got into their designated driver's cars so that they got their asses home safely. Because this is like in the middle of the night in mid-city. You know what I'm saying? It's not that bad, but it could get bad, you know? So he went out of his way to make sure that those kids were safe, you know, all the time. And he even went into some of the neighborhoods and actually, you know, visited, you know, respected leaders in those communities and was like, yo, what's going on with so-and-so, or how come so-and-so is beefing, or if somebody's beefing at World on Wheels. He went outside of work and did what he had to do. And I'll continue my story. We got another caller. Caller, you there?
What's
Who's there?
Hello?
Yeah.
What's up, man? This is DJ Shanks, the Lone Dagger. What's happening?
What's cracking, Shanks? How you doing, man? This is my other brother.
Oh.
Online.
What's happening with
what you
it,
got
man?
For me,
yes.
Man?
Man, I was just, man, online, you know, enjoying the beautiful commentary and back and forth between you and my brother Quest, and shout out to Silk, you know, off just listening, man, just listening to you guys speak about, you know, just praising our brother Will, you know. For me, man, you know, ever since I found out the news, you shared that with me. Everything's a little off kind of right now. You know, I'm not, you know, I'm maintaining, but everything is a little slow for me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm touched and I'm saddened, just like everybody else who, you know, had a good relationship with him. You know, I mean, Quest said something that hit it on the nail, you know, the voice of reason.
Right.
You know, the voice of reason, big time. You know, that right there, that's the nail in the coffin right there. You know, the voice of reason. I don't think it could get any better than that, because he was very knowledgeable, very well-spoken, and it seemed like he had wisdom for everything, you know?
Everything. Everything.
You know, if I had to, you know, honestly, you know, if I had to pick a moment, of course, you know, going back to, you know, World on Wheels, the record pool meetings and stuff, you know, that's all where we all came together, you know, to connect, communicate, network, and so forth. So, him on the bullhorn, of course, was comedy, you know. you know, so many people that had to feel the wrath of him on the bullhorn. It was comedy, you know. It was comedy, and to be honest with you, that's what's missing with hip hop today, particularly LA hip hop. There's no one like him. And there will not be another one, you know.
No.
I know some, you know, people want to give constructive criticism or what have you, but let's be honest. There won't be anybody like Will. There won't be nobody like Will. Ain't nobody to do it like him, you know.
No.
So, you know, it's a great, you know, a great loss. You know, he's been on my mind heavy. You know, and I think it's just a matter of, you know, us losing somebody very, very special. And, of course, the moment that's going to stand out for me is when we were all together, you know, and I constantly think about it, you know, how he buried his mom a few days before I buried my aunt. You know, so that stands out definitely. My condolences to his family, his brother, his sister, and of course, you know, doing the show with you guys on Scattered Chatter. I had a chance to replay that and play the recap of it, man, and didn't realize how fun that moment was.
Bro, that was like the best show ever.
You know,
like.
Well, then, you know, if that's the case, bro, you know, I, that was fun. You know, that was fun. You know, what was we, what, conversation for about 2 to 3 hours?
Yeah, so, dude. Like,
you know, I can't put anything above that. So that's definitely.
You know when cousins get together and they start talking about like stuff that they shouldn't be around their parents. That's what
right.
It was like.
Yeah, man. Because I'm thinking, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm thinking, I'm like, I hope I'm not dragging number one and you know number two. Not sure if the show was if we was going overboard, but it was just so good. And then him saying like, man, we definitely got to have you back, like. You know, I was totally looking forward to that because for me, you know, that was my first interview. So, you know, just thankful that you guys thought of me, you know, to be a guest on the show, you know.
Oh, come
and,
on, you had
you
to
know,
be on the show. You're family, bro.
You
come
know.
On.
And, yeah, man, just, you know, was looking forward to sharing this new project that D-Smoke was working on, you know, looking forward to hearing his feedback and just presenting it to him, you know, because he was a huge D-Smoke fan. You know, he was a huge Ill Camille fan. So very supportive
was.
Of the artists that I represented and supportive
all
of me,
them.
You know.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a one-of-a-kind spirit, bro. You don't – they don't make them like him no more, bro. I'll just say it like that. You know, like
yeah,
he
right.
was a real, genuine, you know, straight up and down dude. And you just don't find him like that no more, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, so, yeah, nah, man, he's going to be greatly missed. And, you know, I still trip off of it. Like I say, man, it's just... Everything for me right now is just a little slower pace than our normal, you know, our normal speed. And it's due to that, you know, due to the fact that, you know, we lost him so young, you know, so young.
Yeah.
And, you know, it happens to the great ones like that. And I don't understand it, you know.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't either.
You know.
I think even when a mutual friend of ours called me the day that was confirmed, I called back and was like, are you playing with me? Did you just call me and tell me that? And he was like, yeah, it happened. And I was like, man, this is really, like, fucked up. And, you know how they say, like, you know, men ain't supposed to cry or not cry. Like, nigga, I broke out in tears. Like, I got no shame. And
you're
no
not
shame.
Supposed to. You're not supposed to. That's just real, you know, that's real emotions. And a brother like him will make you do that. You know, I even was teary-eyed and shed a tear myself. You know, good, genuine people don't come along like that all the time. You know, like I said, he was very unique, you know, the way he carried himself and just, you know, so, man, you crying, bro, that don't – You know, it's nothing wrong with that. Just even the way everything unfolded. It's like, man, he was just out here. The man was just out here burying his mother.
Yeah.
You know, let's keep it real on that. And then now for this to happen, you know, condolences to, you know, his family, man. And it's just the way it all unfolded, man. Yeah. So, you know, where do we go, you know, from here? You know, we just got to keep moving, man. We got to keep moving, pushing forward, doing it for him, you know, because he's going in the physical realm, but he's looking down on us, you know.
Right.
And, yeah, man, I, you know, definitely great. He's going to be greatly missed, you know.
Yeah.
Greatly missed big time. That's I don't know what else to say. You know, I don't know what else to say after that, man. You know, and then just looking at this photo gallery, you know, it's even more touching, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Yeah. I mean, with all that, what do you think, like, what lessons could we learn? I mean, because we all family. So what lessons do you think we can take away from this and, like, moving forward?
Man, appreciate your loved ones, man. Appreciate your friends. Appreciate your family. You know, make sure the communication is solid with them. You know, check in with them. And just, you know, mainly cherish, if anything, man, cherish the moments big time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Cherish the moments to the T. Because, you know, like when I look at that picture of you and him leaving from the event, plus the picture that we took, I remember we hugged each other that night quite often. And we had a ball.
Did.
And, we had a ball. I remember, you know, walking you guys to the truck. And I was thinking in my mind, like, man, I can't wait until we do this again. And we're going to do it bigger and better this time. And so,
right.
You know, I mean, for, you know, so, yeah, definitely cherish the moments, man. And it's life is short, man. You know, life is short. We don't got time for bullshit, you know. So
yeah.
All your loved ones, family, friends, you know. Be right, you know, be right with them, you know, and just try to stay positive, man. Stay positive and definitely keep God first. Definitely keep God first because, you know, with these times, you know, God's the only one that's going to get us through this madness. Not the president, not no artist or entertainer or sports figure, you know. You know, so if it's one thing that I can leave on that note, it's that, you know, treat your people right, you know.
Yeah. And
cherish
those people
cherish the moments. Yeah. Cherish the moments, man. Cherish the moments because, man, you never know. You know, you never know. Big time, you know. And if it's anything that this has taught me, you know, it's definitely that because, Will, that's the last brother that I thought something like this would happen to, you know.
Yeah, I always saw myself like, you know, I've had visions in my head like of us growing old, like you being like the superstar manager, Will, like doing something big in music or having some type of business. And just getting old and just talking about the old days, you know what I'm saying? Going to a bar, you know, and just laughing at, you know, kids, like, trying to do their shit again. It's like, man, y'all don't know nothing. Y'all, like, that's how I always saw myself.
Right, absolutely.
Sharing those stories and then maybe Will possibly families and kids playing together. That's how I always saw all of us, you know, and then the next generation of what that will become. That's how I always saw it, but I never in a million years expected this to happen. Never.
Well, not at all, man. So that's what that tells us right there, you know. It's cherishing the moments, you know, cherishing the moments and cherishing each other, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting it back to the basics, man, because – you know, with everything going on and then, you know, the social media presence and so forth, it's easy to lose sight of those simple things, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Okay. Well, Shanks, thank you for coming on, man. And, you know, we're definitely going to have you back, but this is just a very unfortunate moment to have you on, man. So,
yeah, man.
Yeah.
Totally understandable. You know, rest in power, Will. You know, much love to Will. And you know, my condolences and my love and my respect once again to his family. And I will be attending the visual for him on Sunday. So,
The
I will.
The visual.
You know,
yes,
I'm gonna mention
I will.
As soon as you get off.
Oh yes, please
okay.
do, please do. Give them, you know, let them know that time and everything. Which I'm pretty sure there's gonna be a lot of folks to show up for him. You know, because
oh,
he was well loved and respected, and that's going to be like an Impact Record Pool reunion. I'm imagining, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, and you know, also rest in peace to Brother Foot. You know, rest in peace to Brother Foot. You know, and yeah, that's all I have to say, brother. You know.
All right, cool, man. Thanks again. So.
All right,
I'll go
no
ahead
problem,
mention,
man.
And, we'll talk.
All right, for Show Shop, man. Much love to you, Just Ray, man, for you know, putting this together. You know, being a good friend, being a good brother. You know, to
yeah.
him. You
Thank
know,
you.
Along with myself. You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
you know, for you to, you know, this was great. You know, for you to facilitate this, and I look forward
yeah.
to you know, hearing the other callers that call in, because I know they. Also have great things to share.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that too. All right, man. Thank you, man.
All right, no problem, man. You take care and much love.
All right, man. You too.
All right, peace.
Peace. So, callers, or not callers, the audience, I want to let you know on August the 9th, which is this coming Sunday, there's going to be a candlelit vigil at World on Wheels. That's in LA. That's in Mid-City. That's in the Venice corridor. I believe it's near Venice and Pico, where the Ralphs and the Rite Aid and all that stuff is, and where the new, it's right between the Venice and Pico and where the new Smart and Final Best Buy like center is. It's the World on Wheels. There's going to be a candlelit vigil. I'm sure you're going to be able to see where there are people going to be at. It's going to be at 6 p.m. Again, 6 p.m. Of course, social distancing is in effect. Wear your mask. I don't know if you want to go as far as goggles. They're talking about goggles and all that stuff like that. But, again, it's going to be at 6 p.m. August the 9th on Sunday at World on Wheels. It's going to be in the parking lot. I believe where, I don't know, the Bank of America is still there, but in that area. So please go show your love. If you know somebody, if you're listening and you know somebody that would like to attend, please tell them. Again, it's Sunday at 6 p.m. I don't know as far as like the candle situation. I'm sure that there's some way that you can find something somewhere to facilitate that, but just, I think the gathering of the mass of people in the community there is going to be a great show of support for the family and showing them love and showing Will love too. I want to go back to the stories, you know, with the kids. You know, he did that. He really looked out for the kids, and he looked out for people in the community. And then, you know, we've had three members from the Impact Record Pool call in. Now, the thing between me and Will was, you know, he would, along with him bringing me into his life, one major thing that was really key in his life, he loved music. Now, I don't know if any of you, like, tuned into his Facebook's live sessions, like, I think it was every night or every other night, he would do a Facebook live session where he would spend a lot of music. And, you know, like Shane said, like recently when Ill Camille came out, like that's all he was playing. He was playing Ill Camille and he was playing D Smoke. And I forget the I'm Bougie track. I don't know what the artist's name is, but he was like when he found something that he liked, like he would like it to death, but none of the selections were bad. So he continued doing that. And then, with him bringing me into his life, when it came to music, like he would make a day where there would be a day where Will would either take off or it'd be like in the middle of his work day, and he would go to all the different record labels. So I would say, hey, when are you going? Or he would call me and be like, yo, I'm going. Where are you at? And if I was off, I would go with him. So, and then we would make all rounds. We would go to Interscope. We would go to Universal. And then we would go to Def Jam. And we would talk to the A&R people. We would talk to the people that were doing the marketing. We talked to everybody. And then Will would be just picking up records. And he would put them in a crate and put them in the back of his Jeep. And then he would take them back, and then that's what he would spend at World on Wheels. He always had the newest, freshest music. And then on top of him going to all the labels, like, he introduced me, or I would just happen to meet or be in meetings, these meetings with these, you know, people that do music and, you know, the people that were buying and the agents. Like, I remember vividly being in one of the meetings for the pack that did the song called Vans, and being with them and Too Short, because I think Too Short was the uncle of one of the kids that produced the music, and I was just sitting there in the meeting just like, just with Will, hanging out, like it was nothing. Too Short and this group. And I was like, wow, I'm actually here. And I was grateful to be there. So that says something for the level of trust that he had for me at that time. And then on another event, we went to Interscope for, I don't know, for one, I think one release party I'll mention was for The Game. I forget what album it was. And we went to the party, we hung out, and I think we went to two locations. I believe Kevin Black was a manager at the time. And I got to meet Kevin. I've seen Kevin on many occasions. And during the Interscope meeting, met Game. I know who he is. And then I got to meet Jimmy Iovine. And him and Jimmy Iovine were chopping it. I'm like, what? Who is this guy? Who is Will? Like, why does he know Jimmy Iovine? And why are they having a conversation? So he had conversations with Jimmy. And then we went to another release party for Snoop. I forget, I believe it was the Blue Carpet Treatment when he released his single, the Vato single. Met Snoop, saw Snoop. We were there. We had the blue Kool-Aid from the catering company, all that. It was a beautiful thing. He did a couple tracks. It was like off the chain. And, of course, weed was in the building. You know, you already know that. Snoop D-O-double-G is going to be smoking. So, yeah. So we went to the parties. We had fun. Oh, and I don't want to forget to mention, I met Chris Brown when he, before he's the Chris Brown that you guys know. Yeah. When Chris Brown was 19, I met him. We did an event. And then after that, we went to a club in Melrose. And he hung out with his manager, and he was just getting to know people. And that's when Chris Brown became the Chris Brown that you guys know and love, doing all these great hits and, you know, whatever else you want to think of. So I was able to share those cool moments with Will on an ongoing basis because he trusted me, and music was a part of his life. And, you know your real friends when you trust people with the very intimate, secret parts of your life, like something that you really care and that you're passionate about. Now, what that leads me into is doing the events. Now, for those of you that are in event and event promotions, you guys know how much of a struggle and how challenging it is. Getting people to the venue, doing the flyer, getting the actual venue, and making sure all the artists are taken care of and all your street team are taken care of if you go that far. Because Will did it, of course, it was a natural progression for me to do that. And what I'm getting to is something that Will shared with people, which is really key when you do anything when you want to do business with somebody. He said, to justify your existence. And he would always say that. He was like, justify your existence. I'd be like, what? What does that even fucking mean, to justify your existence? And he would explain, would say, Like, if you want a venue, or you want it for free, or you want to work with somebody, like, why should somebody do business with you? Who are you? Like, what are you bringing to the table? Like, what are you going to do for me that makes me want to give something to you? And so that was always the kick. So when I would do my proposals, I would give them to Will. He's like, do you feel that you justified your existence in this proposal? And then another thing on top of that was, like, how thorough were you with the proposal? Like, did you have your, how much is it going to cost? Did you lay out your finances? Did you lay out what you want to do and make it as simple and plain as possible as you can? So with that and learning those lessons from him, that's what I did. So moving forward, I would just say, like, if that's one lesson I took from him, one of the many, I would say just make sure that whatever you do and in anything you do to justify your existence. I think we have another caller. Let me see. So that's one of the things. And then if you guys were paying attention to his Facebook, he would leave, like, little quotes, like, all the time. And he would say, if you notice at the end of all of his quotes and the things that he would say was prepare, practice, and then perform. So, I mean, I know that seems system. That seems very simple, but is it possible that you can, do you really understand that? And it's like, you know, it's the simple concepts that you go back and you revisit to see if you really, really understand them, right? So that's something that was really in his head. Even when we do these shows, one thing that we would say is, you know, we would go back and be like, okay, how do we make it better? Like, down to, like, you know, the templates for the invitations for the people that were coming on. Like, who do we need to call? And then even, like, our opening speeches, the things that we would say, you know, we would, like, try to rehearse it to make sure we had it down and make sure we captured all the information we need to capture in the first 15 seconds. And then also, you know, the preparing is, like, you know, sending people questions. So all these little, like, paying attention to the details. So then when it's time to perform, it's like we've already rehearsed it. It's not something hard. It's not something challenging for us to do. So that's another lesson that I took from him. And so lastly, I'm gonna ride this out. I think we had some really great callers, and if anybody decides to call in for the last 20 minutes, I'm open to that. I'll go over our last thoughts that I have. And then in the spirit of Will, and as what I was asked to do and what I recommended was playing some gangster rap, I'm going to play No Vaseline by Ice Cube going out. I'm going to play the full track with the vocals, because I remember, like, vividly he would play that track and we would both jam to that. Like, yeah, he, like, Ice Cube really went in, and Will is known for going in on people. So I'm gonna play that after I'm done with my last thoughts, unless somebody else decides they want to come in and they want to say something. Another thing, what Will was known for was being open to new possibilities of things. And you would never think that, you know, him being, you know, the black guy that he was and just only, like, primarily into hip-hop, you would never think that he didn't have, like, his hands in other things, like, you know, the political arena, the different types of art or other music, like Madonna, Britney Spears. And one track that really threw me off was, I forget, what's the name that Will.i.am, the group that Will.i.am is with, I forget, but he always played this call, and it was on their Elefunk album, and it was Filipino. And he would play that all the time at the skating rink. He would play that like, he just played it all the time. I'm like, what do you even know about this? He's like, I don't know what it is, but it's funky, and I'm going to play it. And he played it all the time, and that was like his jam. Like, he would be speeding off of your truck, and he would play that. Or, you know, you just play it just because you just throw it on. He had a wide range of music and a wide range of world perspective on, like, how things work. And that's how he was able to, like, relate to people. And people loved him because of that. Like, he could easily just pull from something that he knew or something that he read or something that he saw and make that relatable to people. And that's what made him so lovable as a person. So, yeah, he was just very open to possibilities. And then another thing, what Will's known for is just being consistent. One thing that, you know, as time has gone by with social media and, you know, people being, some being connected and just more disconnected, is Will was consistent in knowing people's birthdays, and he would call you on your birthday, or he would say, hey, isn't it so-and-so's birthday? And he would literally stop what he was doing, call that person and wish them a happy birthday. I have no idea how he was doing this. I don't know if he was keeping a bunch of people in his Google calendar or his whatever calendar. Like, he knew everybody's birthday. And he would call you just randomly and just wish you a happy birthday. And that says a lot about consistency. And he's done it up until now. Like, he's called me on my birthday, and he's always wondered about other friends of ours, their birthdays, and calling them and seeing how they were doing. And that takes a lot of consistency, I believe, and a lot of integrity and a lot of love to, like, really just care about other people. Because, you know, a lot of people forget people's birthdays. And sometimes we even ourselves, like, forget to celebrate our birthdays because that's a time of life, you know. And he would, I think, calling you is just to remind you that, hey, man, you're still alive and you're still breathing. You still have a chance. And he would do that. So I appreciate him for that. So lastly, I want to leave us with a thought before I unplug and we play this track, if no one's going to call back or call in. There's a favorite show of mine that I used to watch is called Boston Legal, and it reminds me of the friendship that Jenny Crane and Alan Shore had with one another. And then Alan Shore, at one point, he has this quote that he says, and I'm going to share it with you. Friendships are a little like backyard gardens. We plant and tend to them. We just always put them off until next week. And I would just say, with me saying that, like, if you have a real friend that's in your life, somebody that's in your corner, despite you guys' arguments and disagreements, try to tend to your friendships a little bit more than usual. And, you know, make a stand for your friends, like, if they're not doing something right, like, even down to, like, taking care of their health the way they should be. Like, get in their face, because you want your friends to see you grow or get to that good point in your life.
Damn.
You know. Is anybody else on? So do that. The friendships that you build, like, make sure they're sincere. Have integrity in those friendships. Do a little bit more than usual. Like, don't let your laziness and procrastination, like, keep you from being great in your friendships, because you never know what they can blossom into something great, where you have that brother you needed, or that cousin, or that uncle that you need, or that aunt, or that mother that you needed, you know, to fill in the blanks, because everybody can't be everything.
So, you know, take the time to nurture those things. So my last, after that, my last thoughts are condolences and love, prayers, and positivity out to Will's sister, brother, and all the family members. I wish them the best. And I'm here for them if there's anything that I can do. And Gangsta Knick Knack, I'm here for you if you need me. We're gonna do what we can to help you. I'm going to throw that out there because the conversation we had, you know what I'm talking about. Terrace, much love goes out to you, man. Stay strong. You know what I'm saying? We love you, too. Condolences go out to you, man. Stay strong. If there's anything I can do, please feel free to reach out to me. You can contact me through Nikki, and we can do that. And everybody else, much love. And if you have, and if you're an audience member and you're a close friend of Will's, please feel free to reach out to us, Scatter Chatter Podcast through Facebook. And you can reach out to us here on the actual page through Blog Talk Radio, True Tribe Radio. You can Google us, Scatter Chatter, and just leave a comment there. Find me, and I will do what I can to help or give you any closure that you need or put you in touch with who you need to be in touch with to get closure with anything you need. And with that said, thank you guys for listening to this dedication episode of Scatter Chatter. It's most unfortunate. And we look forward to having you on and have your ears listen in the future. Again, please feel free to comment on the fan page and be in touch. So good night. God bless you guys. Love you all. And I want to leave you guys with this track by Ice Cube, dedication to my dear friend and brother, Will 93. Thanks again, and good night.
Damn. Forgot to do something. Let me see. Oh, yeah. It ain't over, motherfuckers. The motherfucking saga continues.
Y'all motherfuckers ready for a W? You ain't getting the fuck up.
Here's what they think about. Fuck all y'all. Goddamn, I'm glad y'all set it off. Used to be hard, now you just went soft. First you was down with the AK, and now I see you on a video with Mitchell Lake, looking like straight Bozo. I saw it coming, that's why I went solo and kept on stomping. Well, y'all motherfuckers move straight out of Compton, living with the whites, one big house, and not another nigga in sight. I started off with too much cargo, drop board niggas now making all the dough. White man just fooling, the niggas with attitude, who you fooling? Y'all niggas just phony. I put that on my mama and my dead homies. Yellow boys on your team, so you're losing. Hey, yo, Drake, stick to producing, calling me Arnold, but you Benedict. Eazy-E saw your ass and went in it quick. You got jealous when I got my own company, but I'm a man, and ain't nobody helping me. Trying to sound like American Most, you can yell all day, but you don't come close. Cause you know I'm the one that broke it, unran 100 miles, but you still got one to go. With the L-E-N-C-H-M-O-P, and y'all disgrace the CPT. Cause you get fucked out your green by a white boy, with no Vaseline. Real quick, and EV Dick is smelling like MC Ren shit. Tried to tell you a year ago, but Willie D told. like a motherfucking ready teller. Giving up the dollar bills. Now they got the villain with a purse and high heels. So don't believe what Ren say, cause he's going out like Kusa Kinte. But I got a whip for you, Toby. Used to be my homie, now you act like you don't know me. It's a case of divide and conquer, cause you let a Jew break up my crew. House nigga got a running high, yelling Compton, but you moved to Riverside. So don't front, MC Ren, cause I remember when you drove a B210. Broke as a motherfucking joke, let you on the scene to back up the first team. It ain't my fault, one nigga got smart and they ripping your asshole apart by cutting your grin. Oh yeah, the villain does get fucked with no Vaseline. Something getting fucked at night by Mr. Shit Packer. Bend over for the